It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA season 5. And with me today, my co-host, Pastor Bernadette Martin, and our special guest today, y'all, Trainer V. How's everyone doing today?
Doing good. How about you?
Good, good, good.
I am wonderful. It is good. It's the weather is beautiful. So, yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate it. It's been a tough winter, so yeah, definitely appreciate the sun, you know? Yeah. And this one right here for our listeners, this is going to be one for the books, y'all. We're going to talk about purpose. But before I get into that, I want to give a shout out to our supporters in the Houston area. Much love to Alicia, Michael, Gilmore, and Angela. We appreciate you. More than you know. So I know time is valuable, so we'll get right into it. Today we're talking about the biggest question on earth. Not how to make money, not how to lose weight, not even Girl Tots last week talked about how to stop kids from biting at the daycare. This is a huge question that I think everyone asks themselves, where am I in life, or why am I here? What is my purpose? And as Christians, it's what does God want from me? And then some of us play this comparative game where we see everyone else, we look at them and we say, hey, they have a perfect life, a perfect calling, a perfect look, and that just amplifies the feeling. So I think we'll agree on this, that God rarely reveals someone's purpose all at once. It's a journey. So if you're wondering, what is my purpose, or what does this all mean? Congratulations, you hit the jackpot, because I have two spiritually wise guests who spent years talking about calling, direction, and the mysterious ways God will guide us, right? And so we're going to get deep into purpose, and maybe we'll all discover a little more about ourselves in the interview. So I'll start with Bernadette and get a little personal, Bernadette, and just tell us, when did you first start thinking seriously about your life's purpose?
Okay. Well, I don't think there was like one specific season or whatever that I just started to think about it. Mm-hmm. But I can remember as early as 16, and I was at the church and we were having some kind of program for the teenagers, and my older cousins were leading it, and they asked us a question: what did we want to be when we grew up? And I remember saying, I want to leave my footprint on the world.
Yeah.
Now, 16, not really understanding, you know, what it was I was saying or why I said it. Like, didn't know what prompted me to say it. But I do think that that was a point in my life, point in the direction of my life's purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. And I know, like, it's... for many of us, it's those periods of transition, right? Those seasons, college, career, some type of spiritual awakening sometimes. But as you were saying that, I was also thinking about, you had the space to like imagine what your purpose was. And I'm just thinking about those who are, who are in survival mode. Like, mm-hmm. they don't even have the time to even think about purpose because they're trying to survive. They're going day to day. So great answer. And let me ask you this, Coach V, was there a moment or event that made you question what you were called to do?
Yeah, often. So now with me, I can remember vaguely praying when I was very, very little. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking God, because, you know, as children, we're taught to say prayers before you go to sleep.
Yes.
And my prayer, I was always stuck on this one prayer. Lord, I want to help you help people. I need to be able to see into the future and tell them which way to go and which way not to go.
Yeah.
I didn't realize at the time, of course, because I was little, that I was praying my purpose and my destiny. Mm. As I grew older, that desire never changed. It still, it just grew. It just increased my desire to know God, because I knew that there was something more than this natural realm. And I was always intrigued by the supernatural realm, right? So later on in life, I grew up in church, and I remember sitting at church saying, there's got to be more to life than just sitting on a pew every Sunday. That's just not it. And so I have been in a seek mode for a while. And when I, in 1997, is when I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. And once I was introduced to the Holy Spirit and rededicated my life, that's when everything really began to unfold. That's when I realized that the thing that I had asked God for, I already had it. I just didn't understand that I was functioning in it. And as I continued to develop my relationship with him, it kept evolving over time.
Wow. Wow. That's a powerful ask, and to see that come into fruition. And I was thinking when you were saying that, like, when we ask for things like that, sometimes it sounds like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you don't really understand the magnitude of what you're asking for and what it means and who you are now, because that's definitely a gift. Amen to that. And I know, Bernadette, you talked about, well, what I hear from both of you is service, which is commendable. But I know, Bernadette, you talked about making a mark in the world. So growing up, what did you think your life would look like when you said that? I want to go a little deeper.
At that point, I thought I was going to have a side B and be a child clinical psychologist. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I sit with these questions, I realized, like Trina V said, you know, there were some things that I was praying about, but didn't realize that it was, you know, leading me in the direction of my purpose. And so thinking that I would have a PsyD and be a child clinical psychologist, at that point, looking back in hindsight, now I know that I knew I wanted to do something to help people.
Yeah.
And I just helped them, like, in one aspect of their life, but across the board. Because we can't be healthy in one area and the other areas of our life are lacking. We can't be spiritually full and then physically we're, you know, out of shape, and financially we're not sound. And
you're talking some stuff now.
So, you know, so I always knew I was different, and I always knew that I wanted to help people.
Yeah.
Let's stay right there for a minute. Let's stay right there for a minute. Just for a minute. See, that right there, that is the thing that actually, and I hope I'm not going off deterrent, but that is the thing that really frustrates me, if I can be honest, with what we see in the church right now.
Mm.
You teach me how to give my money, but you don't teach me how to make it. You teach people how to do all these things, but you're not teaching them how to survive outside of Sunday.
Wow.
You know, I see people with this strong spiritual life. They can pray heaven. They can do all these magnificent things. They can prophesy. They can do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of your life, the other two-thirds of your life is jacked up.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that. And that's being off balance. And being off balance, that's an abomination, according to scripture.
So what do you contribute that to, Coach V? Why do you think that is? Are they so laser focused on
yes.
the Bible, the text of the Bible, and not the outside, the real world piece of it?
Is that being holistic. We're so focused on the spiritual aspect of it that we forget about the other parts. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just really think we went left somewhere.
Yeah.
And so my goal, and we're talking about purpose now because that's just been my heart, mm-hmm. is when I deal with individuals, I look at the whole person. Where are you mentally, spiritually, and physically? Where are you? Because there's no point in you being spiritually strong and you can't pay your bills.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're being spiritually strong, but you're out of shape. Like, for instance, I'm just using this as an example. I've seen it happen so much. We come to church and we want to pray for healing. And we're praying for you to be healed. And we're doing all the work of praying for you, laying hands on you. But then you go back and do the very thing that made you sick.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on now. You're off balance.
Yeah. Yeah. And direction's a big piece. And I will say is... spiritual leaders, as ministers, as pastors, you do hold that responsibility to put your congregation, your sheep in the right direction. So it's a heavy load, and I think sometimes we focus on the soul part of it so much, but it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. We were all blessed, it sounds like, to have the space to imagine, you know, what life could look like and what God wants from us. Whereas there are some people, we forget about that. They're just trying to make ends meet. All I know is I have some bills that need to be paid. All I know is that, you know, I may be struggling health wise, but all I know is what I know. I don't have access to healthier options. And so, so yeah, I think that's what we have to really be mindful of. One of the reasons we do this podcast too is for the real world experience that we just can't overlook. Thank you both for really injecting that into this conversation. I appreciate that. Anything else to add to that?
So when you're thinking about purpose, I also think about it like this. Everybody serves a different part of the puzzle. Right, you got this big puzzle, and or you just say the body, okay? So my purpose is to be the hands. Your purpose might be the feet. Yeah. Somebody else's purpose might be the head. You know, we have to, and whatever your purpose is, I promise you, I can almost guarantee you that you're doing it already. You just don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sit down and talk to a good spiritual leader or a coach or someone that can help you identify, I'm sure is more than likely you're already functioning in it. You just don't realize it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so I was at this conference and it was this motivational speaker. That was really kind of what sparked this. And he openly said he was a Christian, but his presentation was more secular, but what he was talking about, when you say purpose, how in the world we immediately attach it to like a title or career. And he just talked about the impact that we all can make on this earth. And it just reminded me, to both of y'all points, how what my Sunday school teacher back in the day talked about, how you can impact someone no matter who you are. You mm-hmm. could be, you know, and nothing against anyone who scrubs toilets, because that's a tough job and we don't give them enough respect. But you could be cleaning toilets, but you could be you could share words of wisdom to someone, and that influence how they treat their spouse and then their children. And now you've influenced generations down the road. And so that's just the big picture aspect of it that we really don't look at. Well, let me ask y'all both this. Do you believe purpose is something we discover or something we build over time? Is our purpose pre-identified?
I believe it is. Well, let me just say this, that we have our core purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have those specific purposes. And that unfolds. Your specific purpose, I believe, unfolds over time. Your core purpose is things like, you know, to know God, to walk with God, to reflect his nature, to love him and love his people, to bear fruit, to do good works. That's core. But your specific purpose and how that plays out, that develops over time.
That sounds, I agree with that. What about you, Bernadette?
I believe it's, I agree with trying to be, and I believe it's both. Because, you know, purpose is established by God. But like she said, we discover and grow into it over time. And sometimes we just miss it. Not because it's hidden, but because sometimes in life, you know, we just find ourselves distracted or committed to our very own plans. And I want to add to what, to the discussion we had previously before this question. So I think the answer to the question is sometimes in churches, people start operating under the defense mechanism of spiritual bypassing. You know, like she talked about, you know, you're overweight, you need, you know, you need healing, praying, laying hands on you, but you go back home and you do the very thing that make you sick. And so spiritual bypassing, oh, I'm just going to go to church on Sunday and have them pray it away. But Sunday afternoon after service, you eating all the food that's not healthy for you. And it continues until, you know, Sunday morning the next week. And so we do a lot of, people do a lot of spiritual bypassing. I'll pray it away. And here it is, you have years of trauma that you've compartmentalized, that you push to the back of your head and suppress to the back of your mind. And now here you are bitter, angry, and upset at the world. And you're bleeding on everybody, but you believe that you can pray it away, and you're spiritually bypassing it.
Wow.
And that's accountability. A lot of, to be honest with you, we do not like accountability.
Yeah, we like it.
Like the quick fixes. And we're in this microwave generational society that we want quick fix to everything. And so as a leader, for me, I'm talking about me, as a leader, I can pray for you. Yes, I will pray for you. But also, let me offer you a little bit of biblical counseling right here. Because he that wins the souls win is wise. So not only am I going to pray for you, I want to help you understand that you go, this prayer is not going to work until you line up, until your whole, that every part of you aligns with what it is that you're asking for. So you got to do your part.
Alignment. That's it.
Yeah.
Alignment and accountability.
Amen.
So I'm not going to be fasting and praying, and I'm on my face laying in prayer for you, and you sitting on your couch eating bonbons. Come on now.
They, you know, they ask, you know, people sometimes ask us to pray for them, and we're the only ones praying.
Yeah. And so that's accountability. That is purpose, all of that. And so, again, all this goes back to, you know, So asking someone, you know, what's my purpose? It's like, okay, what are you going to be accountable to? Because your purpose carries weight. Your purpose is going to cause you to have to be accountable. Your purpose is going to cause you to have to do some work. So do you really want to know? If you do, we can see and we can talk about it. So, and so I run into, here's the thing. I get this quite often. Prophet, what is the Lord saying? Well, I'm going to point you back to Jesus, because the same way I can hear from the Lord, I'm going to teach you how to hear from the Lord. How about that?
No,
I don't mind ministering to you, but I'm not a crystal ball. My goal and my purpose is to teach you how to hear from God for yourself.
I love how you tied that in. That's exactly what I was about to say. I love how you tied that in, because it's really the same premise of pray for me, I'm eating a pork chop sandwich every day, or fried pork chop sandwich every day. But if you teach them how to really maintain and enhance that relationship with God, God will speak to them. They don't, I don't need someone coming to me and saying, God said, when I have that relationship, right? Yeah, that's, man, you guys are preaching.
And the thing, you know, even with that, it's like whatever is saying to me may not be saying to you, because the Bible says that he that knows to do right and don't do it is sin.
Yeah.
So if eating pork to you is a sin and you know it bothers you and you can't handle it, that doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have even heard people say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, okay, it's not per se that you can't do this or you can't do that in the Bible, but if you know that it's doing your body harm, why are you going to do that to yourself? So here's the thing. Keep eating it. God is not going to stop you. Nobody's going to stop you. He's not even punishing you for your sin. Your sins are what's going to find you out, and your sin is the consequences of your decisions is what is causing you to be in the condition that you're in. God is not doing any of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it kind of falls on, it falls under the premises of let us lay aside every weight and sin.
Mm-hmm.
Weight, you know, are those things that we find ourselves doing. They're not necessarily sin, you know, but they can trip us up and cause us to lose some things in the end. And then sin are the very thing, you know, that's going to wrap itself around our feet and cause us to lose the race. And so, you know, we got to lose the weight.
Yeah.
So in this instance, I guess you could say my purpose is to be obedient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And how do you distinguish between purpose and passion and your own, your self desires? How do you distinguish between that?
I find, let me just speak for me. I find for me that they're one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
I am very passionate about what I do, and I know that that's the very thing that God has called me to do. Now, do I like the way that he tells me to do it all the time? Because sometimes I don't want people today. I don't want to be dealing with people. And so I tell him about, nope, I'm shutting all my phones off and everything. I'm not peopling right now. But I cannot do what God is calling me to do if I don't want to deal with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really, but I, once I get over myself, you know, I go back to doing the very thing I love. Let me, for an example, when I knew when I was young, I don't know why, but two things I said I never wanted to do. I never wanted to be a teacher, and I never wanted to be a social worker.
Mm.
God is funny. Okay. I ended up being a trainer at social services.
Wow. Wow.
And I'm like, okay. Because see, in my head, a teacher was that woman that sit at the desk with that ruler popping their butt on the knuckles with that apple sitting on the desk. See, that was my idea of what a teacher was. Social workers are the ones that will come and take your children. You know, when you, so I don't know where that came from. I don't know. I must have been watching too much TV. But I never want to do that.
Yeah.
But now looking back on it, it's like, okay, Lord, I see it, because I enjoy doing what I do. I enjoy training. I enjoy dealing, you know, and I learned a lot while I was there.
Yeah.
I mean, right. And so I recognize now that it was in line with purpose, and that desire for teaching, training, you know, helping people to be their best self, making life happen with Trainer V, that's where it comes from. It's like, let's make life happen, but not just here. We want to make life happen in every area. So my purpose is like to get you to that place where you enjoy this life that God has that give you.
Amen. Amen. What about you, Bernadette?
So Tap In is a events ticketing / artist promoting platform. So there's three features that come with Tap In, which is really awesome. One, we make it easy to discover events that are in your local area. Also, for artists who are, you know, event planners or organizers who want to sell tickets to their events, we make sure that you keep 100% of your ticket sales. Number two, we wanted to make sure that artists can build a community around themselves and their events. And then number three, a lot of times you'll hear an artist say, visit my website, visit my portfolio, take this QR code. Well, we wanted to make it easy and actually add those portfolios and websites into the app so that it's all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So consider it like almost like a one-stop shop for artists and event organizers and planners. is available to download and use. It is on both Apple Store and Google Play Store.
So I think I would tell someone, you know, career is what pays you. Passion is what moves you. And then calling is what God uses you for. And when you give God your yes, we can find ourselves with all three overlapping. And like she said, you know, God has a sense of humor. because I thought I was going to be a child clinical psychologist with my side gig, and that was going to be it. And
yeah,
definitely wasn't going to be out talking me. Who? No, somebody else. But you're talking about preaching, and then he stepped it up a bit, and he said, "No, now I want you to pastor." Like me? Like, but yeah, God does have a sense of humor, and so but if we give God our yes, yeah, I think God will line it up to where all three will fall in line and they'll overlap.
They really will. They absolutely will. Because my thing was, Pastor Bernadette, I was going to travel the world. All I wanted to do, I just wanted to see the world. I wanted to go to every beach, everywhere there was blue water. And I still have that desire, except now I get to do it differently. And it's like all of that has overlapped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember that being one of the questions I asked God, how can I do what you called me to do? And how can I do what I enjoy doing and make it work for me? How can I gain an income from it? And he has definitely showed me how to do that. And so it can overlap. I think it does overlap. And so, and also just in finding, helping people find their purpose. I get excited about this too, because I can just sitting down talking with an individual. God has allowed me to just, you know, you can tap into the book of life. It's like, okay, Lord, I hear what they're saying, but what are you saying concerning them? And it's helping to put the pieces together.
Yeah.
That is so phenomenal to me. And that's why I love talking to people and hearing their stories. And it's like, okay, what's on your heart? What do you like to do? What do you find yourself doing quiet? Or what do you find yourself thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
It is good. That's really good. It is. And I do love, like, both of y'all just hit it on the nail. I don't have really anything to add other than just, I do believe whatever you do, there's a ministry in it somewhere, right? So there's an opportunity for you to minister to someone. So, which leads me to this question. Do you believe everyone has a God-given purpose?
That's a big yes. Yeah. Emphatic yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What part of, I find myself asking or have asked the Lord, what expression of you did you put in me to fulfill the earth?
Yeah.
And when you and the angels get together and have a conversation, what are you saying about the Lord?
Yeah. Anything to add, Bernadette?
No, I echo those sentiments.
Yeah, yeah. And I do. I think, like, and we all know the story of Moses. That's, every time I think about purpose, that's the story, which in the Old Testament, that's one of my favorite stories anyway. But you talking about someone who committed murder, someone in the wilderness, taking care of sheep, and then they see this bush on fire, and God speaks to them, right? And now he's told that he's going to lead his people out of slavery. And you think about all the shortcomings then, you know, he talked about not being able to speak, being fearful of rejection, all these things. And yet, you know, he becomes one of the greatest, if not the greatest prophet in the Bible. So I absolutely always go to that story. That was one of the first stories that my aunt, you know, read to me as a child. And it just reminds us that God uses all of us, even when we're flawed, right, to accomplish that divine purpose. So thank you. Thank you.
Yes, even helping people to understand it.
Yeah.
It's helping people to understand you don't have to be perfect.
That's
God
right.
loves you how you are. He knew who you were before you got here.
Yeah.
And if we were perfect, we wouldn't need him.
Yeah.
So just even in counseling people and helping them with that, it's giving them permission to make a mistake and giving them permission to learn from the mistakes they make. Because I think I'm trying to go like, you're not going to learn from the mistakes you don't make. It's okay. But in certain arenas, if we make mistakes, we are labeled as ungodly, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And everything's not clear to you right then and there. God may reveal that purpose, but everything's not unfolded all at one time, right? So even going back to Moses, it's like he was told, he was given the charge, but when Moses was asking, you know, who am I? You know, God really didn't reveal everything to Moses.
Black Farmers Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 back.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If God showed you who you would be or where you would be right now, if he had showed you this when you were a teenager, what you probably would run, you probably would have been like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
He can't show it to us all at once.
No, and the work that it took us to get there and those trials, that adversity that built that character, we would miss out on all of that.
Jesus, let me tell you something. OMG. Wait, hold on. I can remember in 2015, I think you've heard the story before, but 2015, I was at a friend of mine conference, and these two prophets was there, and one of them said, God said, you're going to have a Job-like experience. Mm-hmm. And he said, you're going to be touched with the spirit of infirmity, but it's connected to assignment. And it's to fortify a compassion in you for the work, right? So I heard it, but really didn't think about it. And until 2020, when I got hit with breast cancer, I was like, wait, whoa, that's what you were talking about? Hold on a minute. Wait, hold up. But I was like, wait a minute. If God had told me back then, I probably would just like, no, that's okay. You keep that. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
But on the other side of it, there are so many things I can look back on and say, God, I thank you for mm-hmm. not for the experience, but I thank you for what I learned through the experience.
Yes.
So we don't see that part.
No, we don't. And how do you recognize when it is God directing you in your life? Because it kind of goes back to what we asked earlier about calling versus passion. But how do I know this is God directing me? Because you'll hear a lot of people who say, well, the Spirit told me or God told me to do A, B, and C. But then and it's not for us to say whether God told them or not, but but the output sometimes doesn't necessarily align with that. But so how do you know?
I say that you go through testing, you go through just like learning, just like your child had to learn your voice. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're still evolving. As long as we're in this body, I call it this earth suit, we're going to constantly be evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And there are facets of God that we're continuously learning over time. Right. Mm-hmm. So the things that are familiar to me now, God is going to shift. And so that, okay, now you know this. Now I need you to come up. It's like going through school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like at the time I can remember there have been several places where I had to step out on faith And where is someone asking me the question, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I just believe God. I believe this is what he said. This is what I'm going to do. Well, how do you know? Because I know that I know. I've heard it too many times. I know that this is God. And the thing about, I would tell anybody, don't make a move on a major decision unless you know that it is God.
Yeah.
Now, testing is going to come, right? So when he told me to leave, sell my house and move out, I didn't know where I was going. All I knew was I'm stepping out on faith. And so when my family and friends, they were like, well, what are you going to do? Where are you going? I don't know. And of course, you know, they thought I was a space cadet. Like, what you mean? I don't know. All I know is God told me to leave and he got me. All I know is that I trust him to hold me and carry me every step of the way. Because at the time, in 2013, he showed me a house that scared the bejeebies out of me. I'm like, oh my God, no, I can't do that. Right. Mm-hmm. But then I left. Well, here it is, 2022. I'm in that house. But look at the time frame it took. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they thought I was nuts. My family thought I was just gone. So she's gone. She lost it. I don't believe that was God. I even questioned that time after 8 years. I'm like, well, Lord, I think I missed it. Maybe I didn't hear from you. But something in me, and I know that was God, wouldn't let me quit. Because I went out looking for a house a couple times. I said, I'm just going to go get my house and start over. Couldn't do it. Because God had a plan. And not just the house. It wasn't just the house. What came with the house was the man and the stuff.
Yeah.
A lot unfolded. But if I had not held on to what I knew and believed that God said, I would have aborted the plan. Grew prematurely into a plan. I would have birthed an Ishmael.
So if someone came to you and said, Trainer V, how do I know, like, this is God? What would you tell them?
Okay, so we would talk about it. Mm-hmm. When did you first hear it? Let's go to God together, because sometimes we need help.
I'm glad you
because said. We're so invested in it, we can't hear for ourselves.
Yeah.
Objectively. So this is the time when you pull on your community, you pull on those that you trust that knows how to hear.
Yeah.
And so get with your community, pray, stand in faith, and don't move. Because one thing about it, God is not going to, he knows where you are, right? So I remember telling him, Lord, I don't have the faith to do that right now. I need you to help me. Just like the disciples said, help my unbelief. I don't have the faith to do this right now, so I need you to help me. And that he did every single time. The peace will come, will overcome me. It's like a blanket will wrap around me. It's like, huh, okay, I'm not afraid anymore. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So just I would just encourage them, keep standing, keep believing, keep praying, keep getting with your community, and just, don't give up. Because if that's something that you believe, it's a gnawing, like something that's in your gut that won't let you. It just won't go away.
I love the wise counsel piece is what I was definitely going to touch on, because sometimes you don't know that. That is very, that's paramount to it as well. What says you, Bernadette?
No, I agree. And I think there's always evidence. You know, someone asks, how can they hear or recognize when God is directing their life? Mm-hmm. There's always evidence. Like Trinity was saying about her story, it's that conviction.
Yeah.
Or those, multiple times he'll confirm it over and over again. It's the alignment we start to see, even after 8 years. Some days where some days are harder than others, and some days we got faith to go on, but there's always conviction and confirmation and alignment, and sometimes there's disruption. Like Trina P said, tell her leave her house. Like, what kind of, did I hear you right? Leave right. My house. But on the other side of our yes, like our sole purpose is to please God, to glorify him. to bring glory to his name, to draw other men to him. And so it's, and sometimes it disrupts what we have going on, what we thought we had in place and set up was going to be set forever. He'll come and disrupt it.
Yes, yes.
And he'll leave traces.
I would tell
you.
Go ahead.
No. I was just saying he'll leave traces, you know, where, you know, on days when our faith feels weak, you know, he'll leave a trace where we can go back and say, hey, you know, God, he brought me through that. And, you know, he did this. And it'll be evident sometimes in dreams, sometimes in talking to other people.
Yeah. I call a memorial stones, right? Mm-hmm. So I can reach back. I'm like David. Every time a giant of fear would rise his head or doubt, anything like that, I would grab one of my memorial stones. And when I look back, I'm like, okay, God, I remember when you did it here. I remember when you did it there. Mm-hmm. And I would just use those stones. It's like to take down those giants, right? And I will also encourage and just, you know, counsel anyone and let them know, I'm going to be truthful with you and I'm going to be honest with you. This ain't no cakewalk. You're going to go through a period of doubt, fear, and unbelief. That's normal. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not. Don't let anybody tell you that if when you get scared, you have lost your faith. That is not true. These are trying times. Testing comes to make you stronger. These are just you being tested. It's okay.
Yeah.
Why when you scream, when you know, do all the things, but just don't have your moment. Don't let your moment have you. Get on up and let's keep moving. But you're going to have your moments.
So
did
you feel that God was, because you just touched on those moments, do you feel like, did it feel like God was silent while you were going through that?
Teacher always silent during the test.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there are times when he would send an encouraging word through someone. There was many times, especially when I was going through diagnosis and things like that. There was a young lady. God is amazing. There were times, I remember this one time in particular, I thought about one of my cousins who had passed. And I said, oh, Lord. And I immediately got a text from somebody I rarely talked to. And the only thing the text said was, she said, the Lord said, their story is not your story. And that was it. And I'm like, okay, I hear you. So like Bernadette said, he will send the word. He will encourage you. He knows how to reach you where you are. God is so huge and so mass. Stop trying to put him in our little boxes and just allow him to be who he is. Just trust that he has you and on his word.
Amen.
God, I know what you said. Nobody else was there when we had this conversation. So I have to stand on your word when everybody else seems to be like Job Springer telling him, you don't curse God in that. Just don't curse him in that. No, I know what you said. You weren't there. No, his wife said that. Go on, curse that. Yeah. And his friends was just like, really? You know. But again, the conversation between you and God, this is where I also counsel you. Keep the journal so you have something to look back on. Encourage yourself in those seasons where you're up on the mountaintop and things are going well and God is speaking. Journal it. Because when you're down in the valley, you're going to need a reminder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this ain't no cakewalk.
Not at all. Not at all.
So our purpose for each other is to be there for one another, to hold up each other's arms when we are too weak to hold them up ourselves. That's another thing we don't do enough of. We have become so siloed that we need to be able to come together. Not just in crisis, but in the good times, bad times, in all times.
Amen.
So I will push a person. I really will. I'll push you until you let me know, okay, I ain't ready to move. And then I'm going to leave you alone. And I'm like, all right, catch up with me when you're ready. Because I can't push you beyond where you go. But I love to push people. I love to push people out of their comfort zone because I know the potential. You got potential, so come on. And I'm never going to tell you to do something that I'm not willing to walk with you through. If I'm telling you to get up and do something and start a business, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you until I'm helping you walk until you don't need me anymore. Yeah. That's discipleship.
Yeah. It's a good thing to get comfortable being uncomfortable all the time. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely.
Totally agree. Let's talk about social media, though. Like I mentioned comparing ourselves earlier. So how does social media play into this trying to find purpose piece of it?
To me, I think it can hinder it. Mm-hmm. Because comparison creates confusion. We see most times on social media, we see the highlights of people's lives. We don't see what went on behind the scenes. We don't get we don't have any insight to the phone calls that took place, how many rejection letters they got. We just see the high points. And it's rare that we see how people, get to where they got. And so I think it creates confusion. It hinders people from really discovering what their purpose is because they're too busy trying to keep up with somebody else, who's really not, who's struggling to keep up a facade sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it can cause people to start chasing someone else's assignment instead of discovering their own.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah, I think social media was never meant to be anything other than a tool. But we've lost sight of that because we get so inundated so much with what we see, like you said, with what we see that we start to crave something that was never ours, something that God never called us to. We get blindsided by it. We get caught up in it. And it's like the web that it is. Mm-hmm. What happens in a web? You get caught.
Yeah. Mm. Man,
it's a tool, but I think the tool sometimes grabs a hold of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, do y'all think that, and I really don't like putting people in boxes, but do you think that the younger generation are more honest about things now or more lost when you talk about the social media finding purpose and really understanding what it means to, I guess success would be one word I use, but success can be broad, not the success that we're the worldly success. What do you think about that?
Well, as it relates to honesty, I think this upcoming generation are definitely more honest. They're not afraid. Yeah. Tell you what's on their mind. They're not afraid to just they really make some bold moves. Whereas the older generation, because of when and what period they were brought up in, they do things differently and think differently. But this generation, I love the way that they are just not afraid to take chances. Yeah. They are open and honest with you. But yeah.
I like
now, that. As it relates to finding purpose, I still think that part would never change. They want to have to go back to the creator because the only way we know how a machine works is we go back to the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I like that. Bernadette?
I'm sitting with it. So, okay, let's define young. Mm-hmm. What age group are you thinking about?
I don't know why I thought you might say that. I guess I would say our Z's.
Gen Z's, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so part of me wants to say all who wonder are not lost. And there is a level of honesty, but I think there's a thin line of being honest and then oversharing.
Uh-huh.
And so, And since we just got done talking about social media, let's go back there. Yeah. You know, you have people coming out and they're sharing hard truths and just releasing all these traumas on people. But the people that they're sharing it with, I don't know if they hold, like, if they have the ability to hold space for it, or like, you know, you've heard this tough story. I don't know. It's a mixture. I think it's a mixture. Some are lost, and some are too honest about their struggles, and then some, they have that balance. I mean, if that's even a reality, because I don't think I won't say balance, but they have a better priority or a better way of handling the both. But it's a mixture.
I didn't mean to cut you off. What else were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, it's a mixture, and I'm trying to find the completion of my thought on it. But go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, like, I do know some who said it can be therapeutic for them to talk about, you know, whatever trauma they experience. But at the same time, I know that it can be, there's a thing called oversharing. And so I really think it's this balancing act, because, like, but some of the stuff, to your point, I see, I'm like, oh, wow, there's no way I would share that on social media. And it's permanently recorded. That's forever.
Yeah.
It's not going away. And so I look at, like, you look at these confirmation hearings and politics, and they're pulling up things that people posted on social media 15, 20 years ago, or when they were in college. And out of fairness to them, I don't think, like, who I was when I was 20, definitely not who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there should come some wisdom, some emotional intelligence behind what I post, and really think about the long-term impact.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Easy. It's all about who is pouring into them, who is helping them to understand, who is raising them.
Yeah.
And right now, schools are not what they used to be when we went to school. Mm. We're not learning the same things.
Yeah.
We don't have the same experiences. We, growing up in our generation, we weren't sitting in front of YouTube and all that stuff every day.
Yeah.
We got out and we got some sunshine. We did something. We were outside. And we weren't exposed to as much as these younger people are exposed to. That's the thing that I think is hurting them. You are exposed to things way too early, way too much.
Yeah.
So a lot of that has to do with exposure.
Yeah. I agree with that too. And some of them, they just need to be taught what a diary is. Because some stuff I see and some stuff I hear on social media, I be thinking I could have went my whole life without ever knowing that. And you should have went your whole life without ever telling that. Like, so it's like some of the stuff that they share, it has no purpose behind it.
Uh-huh.
And those people are lost.
Yeah.
And then the ones who are more honest about their struggle, I think it can help, but it can also hinder them in some spaces down the road, depending on, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
So it's a mixture.
Think about it, too, that a lot of it goes back to being heard and validated and seen at home.
Yeah.
We don't have enough people in our lives that allow us to feel secure. So they're looking for love and security and all those things in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that, I believe, is what's happening with social media, because I'm looking for the applause. I'm looking for the attention. I'm looking for something, even if it's bad attention.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something.
Yeah. Wow. And then some of them are addicted to it, too.
I was just going to. I was watching, I think it was Good Morning America, and they were talking about the stress levels of our teenagers when they post something and they're waiting to see how many people like it. And if they don't get those likes and response, mm-hmm. to y'all point, it can be very stressful for them. So
yeah, because like saying that you like, that you love me, I'm loved, I'm feeling validated, yeah. I'm feeling something that I'm lacking at home.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the breakdown of the family system, breakdown of, you know, all of that, mm-hmm. the structure of the family. Because think of when we were growing up, the whole neighborhood took care of you.
Yes.
Big Mama played a role. But Big Mama right now, Big Mama is 33 years old.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's real.
And community isn't what it used to be.
No. So not. You all remember a time when everybody in the neighborhood knew each other? Now you move into a neighborhood, you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody looked out for somebody for 5 years and not know their name.
Yeah. That is so true. So true. Hey, this has been great. I'm going to ask y'all one final question. And this question, because people have asked me this quite often. And so I want you two to really give me your advice on this. So advice for someone stuck in an unfulfilling job.
You talking my language.
What do you say?
Okay. Focus on what it is fulfilling while you work on your plan to get out.
Okay.
So if you're feeling stuck, you have options. Don't ever think that you don't have options. My question to them would be, okay, well then, are you willing to do the work to make it, to do the necessary things that you need to get out? Because just being stuck and complaining about it is not doing anybody any good, not even you. So what are you doing to get out? First of all, have you checked the policy to see if there are provisions for you written within the policy? Because one of the things that we oftentimes don't do is when we're so happy to get a job that we don't even read the handbook.
Mm-hmm.
Is there monies or tuition reimbursement or whatever, so you can go back to school and earn another trade or get some certificates or something that will help you out of this situation? Do you want to change career? Do you want to stay in the career that you have? What do you want to do? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Okay. One of the things that I used to ask my employers, employees that I used to supervise, the first year, I said, okay, I'll give you a year, but at the end of that year, I want to talk to you. Where do you see yourself? Because my goal as your manager is to hear that you're not going to sit here and look at me for 5 years, unless you want to. But my goal is to help you get to your next place.
Yeah. I like that.
What do you need to do? How do you need to do it? And yeah, what do you want to do? Because you're not stuck.
Yeah. Not at all. Bernadette?
Okay, so that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm circle back. I'm gonna lead it up and then I'm gonna circle back to what she said.
Uh-huh.
So I would tell them to pray and pay attention, because God may be using this season for either preparation, provision, or transition.
Uh-huh.
And if it's preparation, they need to focus on what they're meant to learn in the season. And if it's provision, steward it well. I mean, sometimes it's just we have to stay so we can learn what God is teaching us in that moment. And then if it's transition, like Trina V said, start moving and start positioning yourself, you know. And before you start, you know, just going up here and saying, yeah, I got a new job. Like she said, look in that policy, look in that handbook and see what you really, you know, aligning yourself with. And I will also tell them, don't rush out of a place you haven't grown from.
Yeah.
But don't stay where God has already released you from. So it's got to make sure you hear from God clearly. And I know sometimes some jobs we just want to walk off, but we ain't got a plan in place. You know, we ain't got nothing to fall back on.
Yeah.
And so he could either be doing one of three things.
Let me add to that too. For the ones that don't pray, for the ones that don't know God, I would encourage them, like she just said, just know one thing, that you're not stuck. Because I've had this situation. Even at social services, I've had to counsel people, not the clients. These are the employees. Mm-hmm. I even did a class with the clerical staff, how to make the best of your workplace experiences. And 99% of what came out of the class was frustration, mm-hmm. their frustration. And I said, okay, I hear you. You are heard. But my question to you is this. What are you doing about your situation? Because the organization probably is not going to change. You can't control how other people act. You can only control your response to how they're acting. Don't show your hand. Just do something about your situation and move in silence. Document everything, but move. Don't sit. You're yeah. moving mentally, you're moving emotionally, and you're moving physically. Mm-hmm. I was so frustrated on that job that I went back to school and got my master's degree in education.
Yeah.
Once you have that paper in your hand, and once you are even, and think about it too, why are you frustrated? Because they're giving me work that's not even mine, but they're giving you a skill that can never be taken from you. Change your perspective. You don't have to work here. You get to work here. Change your perspective. And everything that they give you, whether it's yours or not, it's a skill that they can never take from you. So the whole thing is change your perspective until you get to where you need to be. Yes. Because everywhere you go is going to be a challenge. You're going to be challenged. Mm-hmm. So until you learn to look at the challenge through different lenses, you're never going to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. So you're not stuck. That's what I mean by you're never stuck. It's just how you're looking at being stuck.
Amen. Amen. I can't even add. Both of you have some really great answers on that. The only thing I'll say, even if you do like your job, if you love your job, I will say every so often you should revisit the why, right? The why behind mm-hmm. what you do. And that's in every walk in life, every ladies, it has been a pleasure. Any final words before we close out?
No, I appreciate these types of conversations because they're absolutely educational, number one. They're stirring, number two. And I'm motivated by all of that, learning how to, or just hearing others' perspective on it. So, Bernadette, I appreciate you. I appreciate your perspective because all of us have a piece to the puzzle. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bernadette.
Yeah, this was good. I definitely enjoy conversations like this. Lonzo, you already know how I feel. We need to have more conversations, yes. You know, about stuff going on that touches us Sunday through Sunday. But yes. For some reason, we're afraid to talk about it, and we're leaving it. And so it was really good to sit down and have this conversation with you, Trinity. Wonderful insight. Encouraged. I was encouraged by the 8-year story about the house. Like, I'm personally encouraged. So I believe this is all God's doing. And I just want to remind people that purpose is, it's not just like, so I think people think about purpose and they box themselves in, but purpose is so broad. Uh-huh. And it can be progressive.
Yeah.
You know, our purpose can remain the same throughout our lifespans, but in various seasons of our lives, it'll look different.
Yeah.
There will still be that common thread of that purpose being fulfilled.
Yep. And I would leave somebody with that last, that purpose. Your purpose is to enjoy the life that you've given. Because if you can't enjoy your life, how are you going to help somebody else enjoy theirs?
Amen. Well said. Well said. Trainer V, Pastor Bernadette Martin, much, much appreciation. Until next time, y'all. Peace.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
You too.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.